Say these words. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, this afternoon we receive clarity, revelation, that is found in the written word. As regards your mandate in all the earth, we receive clear-cut instructions to walk in all the days of our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 and verses 18. You know, we have few days to prayer retreat. I look forward to prayer retreat every year. See, I say this and I say it always. There are meetings that I don't joke with. I don't joke with GPLR and prayer retreat. So just have a few more days to prayer retreat. Hallelujah. And intentionally, I decided not to teach on prayer, but I will teach on prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 28, 1 verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark 16, from verses 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It says, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not help them. They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. And they recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And he went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Luke 24. A quick one. Luke 24 from verses 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, watch that, repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. You listen to that? Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name amongst well all the nations, right? Beginning at Jerusalem. John chapter 20. And ye are witnesses of these things. Glory to God. John 20. That is 23. I'll start from 22. It says, when he has said this to them, he said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remitted unto you, unto them rather, and whosoever ye retain, I retain. Hallelujah. So, quickly, we said this will be instructions of Jesus within the 40 days, right? If there's nothing you know, always know. These are instructions of Jesus within the 40 days. And we say these instructions will be instructions of the scriptures. Instructions of the scriptures. God, what's happening at the back there? Hallelujah. Everybody face me. Glory to God. So, okay. Quickly. So, we said, and this is the instruction of Jesus within the 40 days, and we said these instructions will be the same. Did you see them as the same instructions? Did you say that they are the same instructions? Though they were differently captured, right? But they are the same instructions. And I gave us examples. Hallelujah. They were writing different things. While Matthew was talking about make disciples, he uses the word matitio, which means the entrance into discipleship, make disciples. When you enroll a child to a citadel, Mark will say, you do that by preaching the gospel. He that believes and is baptized is saved, is a disciple. This is not, is a disciple. Glory to God. So that point of being a disciple, that point where your man is saved, he's called, his sins are forgiven him. So Luke will say it is the preaching of what? Repentance and the remission of sins. John will say when a man believes his sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. That's the same instructions. I will say when they were not writing when this event were unfolding. Right? Right? They didn't write when the event were unfolding. They wrote their teaching, they wrote it years after that happened. Decades. But before they wrote, they had it in their message. Was that what we said? They had it in their message. They thought about it, or they thought the scriptures as being fulfilled in Christ. Right? So the way they will talk about the incarnation, the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they will talk about it as scripture fulfilled. We saw all that. Right? Hallelujah. We saw it as scripture fulfilled. Look at Acts 7. So also, we said what they didn't have in their world was the resurrection, because what I mean they didn't have in their world, we said other people had the gist of Jesus. I've built you to that point, right? They had the gist of Jesus. His story went about, but they didn't have the story in the world on deep lovers that he resurrected. It wasn't that. Glory to God. And that was a major, that is a major in the gospel, the resurrection. If you watch in Acts 7, where it showed us, verses 55, the Bible says, and Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So when he said that to them, he was in the temple. In the temple. Remember, the Jews, when they had temple, temple means a whole lot to them. Hallelujah. So, you see, in the temple, everybody was there, and Stephen said, I saw the Son of Man standing in heaven. Watch it. So, just look at what he said. He said, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. So when you use the word right hand of God, it's a temple implication. Hallelujah. And it's used for the blood. When they take the blood into the holiest of all, it will show that the animal that is dead is alive. Did you see that? Remember, one of the central things, as I'm going to teach you as we go further, in we're having a teaching series, right? Right? I thought I'm teaching Old Testament. But something I want to show you is on the fact that what you see that a major theme in the Old Testament books is life from the dead. It's a major theme. Amen? Major. One of the things you find in the is life from the dead. Hallelujah. So when Moses told them to sacrifice, to kill the animal, you kill the animal, right? Now, that is to show death, right? But they are going to also show you that there is going to be life from the dead. Amen? So what would they do to show that that animal is going to see the alive, they will take the blood and will take it into the holiest of all. That is the right hand. Hope you are following me. That is the right hand. So the moment he said, I saw the Son of Man, then he was friends of the Messiah, Jesus. And remember, they killed it. Hallelujah. So when they said, I saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, he's saying to them that he is alive in the temple. And the Bible says the next thing they did was that they went at him. Blasphemy. They went at him. You need to see that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I said to us, the resurrection is the major upset. Everybody believes Jesus is prophet, servant, Jesus came, but when you tell them he resurrected, that is it. Amen? Amen?
That is the pivot point of salvation, the resurrection.
Take away the resurrection from the event of the four gospel, you can have deity in Christ. The resurrection is what turns,
is what I said it to us some few weeks back, which is few years back, that the resurrection is what how do I put it? Is what, I'm going to use, look for that word again. Huh? No, it's not the beginning that looks like an end, it's end that looks like an end. There are not the beginning that... Oh no, not the beginning that looks like an end.
No, I understand where you are going to. Amen. I thought that the resurrection is what validates the incarnation. Can I remember that now?
One of our GTL teachers said, it was validates the incarnation. Hallelujah. And what we are talking about now is, I said, the resurrection is the beginning of what looks,
it's the beginning of what looks like an end. I remember that. I said that to you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, I said, what stands out is the resurrection. And the apostles will talk about the resurrection, not like an event. No, they speak about the resurrection as the fulfillment of the scriptures. Hallelujah. As the fulfillment of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you find it in how they wrote in the synoptic. How they wrote in the synoptic.
So they open up the synoptic as telling you that this is scripture fulfilled.
What we're going to write about is the life of Jesus. Right? But it's going to be written from the scriptures. Look at Matthew 1:1. It says, in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Did you see that? The Son of David, the Son of Abraham, sorry. In the books of the generation. So, when you use the word generation there, that is the Greek word Genesis. That's the Greek word what? Genesis. In the book of the Genesis. So he calls, Matthew calls Genesis the Genesis of Jesus. You look at that? So he's making you see that whatever thing you are going to find in the scriptures will be scripture fulfilled. Amen? Okay, follow me. So he's laying that background for you to see that what he's writing is not a mere story. He's writing from the Genesis. Look at Mark immediately. Mark 1. Mark says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He uses the word arche, a word he used for the Genesis also. Arche, in the beginning of the gospel. You see that? So he calls the Genesis the beginning of the gospel of Christ. What are you following me? Amen. So, taking you back again to the Genesis. Every writer of scripture will take you back to Genesis, to Moses. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So therefore, when I write about the instruction to make disciples, you will see that that instruction will be instructions from the Genesis. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. So when I get to Matthew 28, all of God has written to me, nevertheless, go therefore make disciples. They have told you earlier that he's writing the Genesis of Jesus. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, look at verse 12. It is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before me. That is Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 into 2. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, Isaiah 40. What is Mark doing? Mark is telling you, you're going to read the scriptures together. And he's taking it backward. Genesis to Malachi, down again to Isaiah. Backward reading. Hope you are following that. Luke 1. Luke gives us an audience of one. Theophilus. Hallelujah. He tells us, oh, this is a Gentile audience. Luke 1. From verses 1. It's a problem that many are set forth in hand to declare those things which are surely believed amongst us. One is surely believed amongst us, even as they declare it unto us. which were from the beginning, eyewitness and ministers of the word. It seems good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellent Theophilus. Did you see that? He is writing to an audience of one, Theophilus, who happens not to be a Jew. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Happens not to be a Jew. In chapter 24, verses 44, he gives the same background again. Verses 44, he says, these are the words which I said to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, telling you that it also has a background of Genesis to Malachi. What can I say? Hallelujah. John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or the Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. John also takes you back again to the Genesis. In the beginning, Arche. So no writer of scriptures wrote the incarnation as a mere story. It was written as scriptures fulfilled, because it is scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Life from the dead. Is that the resurrection? Emphatically, yes. So when you read scriptures together, you will find life from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Moses wrote it about Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel, and he wrote for you to see that Abel's voice cried. Amen. Life from the dead.
What are following it?
Life from the dead. The major thing. Glory to God. So we began looking at Matthew 28 when it says teaching them. Right? I will say the Bible is a book of patterns. The Bible is a book of patterns. So therefore, when Jesus gave the instruction, he gave the instruction to his disciples, I will find it as a pattern in scriptures. A pattern. Hallelujah. From the Genesis. Jesus chose his disciples and he gave them instructions. Genesis, you find it, God will give instructions to the man in his image. Amen. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses will have to choose people and he will give them the task of doing what? Of teaching others. Did you see that? It's an instruction. Or, permit me to say, it's a pattern. It's a pattern in scriptures. Hallelujah. The pattern in scriptures. Choose men and give them instruction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And those men will have to carry out your path. So making them sons. Did you see that? Making them what? Sons. So the man in his image is called sons. Not because of the woman or a wife, but because of functionality. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Functionality. Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. Not Esau, not Ishmael. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Sonship. We saw all that, right? Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Okay. So we said the man in this image is called son. And we said the image is Christ, right? The image is Christ. Jesus is both the image and the model of the man in the image. You're going to take that. Jesus is both the image and the model. I have it in my notes, the prototypos. The model man in his image. Did you see that? So the incarnation is Jesus as the model man in his image. Okay, follow me. So when was Jesus the image of God? When did Jesus become the image of God? He's in the incarnation. No! He has his image of God from the Genesis. Did you see that? Hallelujah! From the Genesis. So he in the incarnation will be him as the model man in his image. Hope you're following that.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah.
So the man in his image is called son. I would say that is how the promise of heaven and earth will come to pass. Let's say that to you.
So how will it come to pass? Genesis 1:11, the seed, right? Right? The seed, Genesis 1:11. Then in Genesis 3, when man sinned, God reinstated Genesis 1:11 again. He says in verses 15, he says, "And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." It goes back to Genesis 1:11. "Thou shalt bruise thy head, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So how will it happen? Read that?
Yes, see. So when man sinned, God went back again to Genesis 1:11. The seed. The seed is how all of God's will come to pass. Hallelujah. The seed will bring forth its kind. Mark that. Genesis 1:11.
Let's go back there. You're going to read Genesis 1:11 to Genesis 1:28. Let's see that together. Genesis 1:11. "And God said, let earth bring forth grass and herb, yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. Did you see that? So how would all of God's plan come to pass? The seed. Hold it there. What would the seed do? The seed will bring forth its kind. Hold it there and rush down to verses 28. This is why many people thought it was going to be reproduction. And you know, they were not different from Eve. They're not different from Eve. They say, "Oh, I want to give birth to 24. I used to have that kind of funny thinking growing up. I want to born to 40. I want to replenish the earth." How? How will you replenish the earth? Growing up, that was very funny.
Yeah? But today, with subsidies, you'll just hang boots on one and say, "God, Lord Jesus, I love you." Glory be to God.
So, look at verse 28. See why some people will think is reproduction. It's verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Watch that. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So hold it there and look at a seed will bring forth its kind. A seed will bring forth its kind, and yet God is saying reproduce, multiply, replenish the earth. Amen. Amen. So a lot of people now think, "Oh, it's reproduction." No. No. Hallelujah. No, it wasn't reproduction. Because when you use the word replenish, that word replenish is not used for a start. It's used for a restart. Replenish means it's already there. People are already there. So it's not telling you to refill them. Like a refilling. You understand me? To refill. Replenish. So that means it's telling you that, hey, the earth is already occupied. There are people in the earth. What's all this happening? Come on. Give yourself a little brain on your head. Amen? Amen? That means this instruction, there are people already around. So it says, receive.
Okay, follow it. Okay, follow it.
Glory to God. Receive. It's not reproduction, but receive. And how will this happen? In the gospel. Amen? So that is the seed. Replenish, that is the seed. So when Eve saw it, when Eve heard God say the seed of the woman, she thought it was going to be a son. In chapter 4, he said, "The Lord has given me a son. Another seed." Did you hear that? So they knew a seed is not grain. They knew it was going to be a person. One. But it was not going to be reproduction. Hallelujah. Who are following me? Who are following me? Okay. So, the song, like we said, is going to be a function, right? It's going to be a function, and Jesus is called Son of God because of the incarnation, the work in the incarnation. Luke 4:18. Hallelujah. Luke 4:18. John 10:10, "I am come that they might have life." You see that? Responsibility. Functionality.
Okay, follow me. They might have life.
Okay. So, we are called sons. I'm just doing a review of what we've been looking at. We are called sons. Why?
We are called sons because of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are called sons because of the new birth. We are in Him. Is that? We are in Him. So our sonship is because of His sonship. Okay, follow it. Our sonship is because of Him. In the resurrection. So we are sons because of the resurrection.
I will say the resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is a unifier. Was that what we said? Well, it's a unifier. We call the resurrection the fullness of time. The resurrection is called fullness of time. Fullness. Hallelujah. Fullness of time.
So we say, what do we have in the resurrection? Who and who do we have in the resurrection?
We say, we and the spirit of just men made perfect. Right?
Did you see that? Right? Something I didn't play loud. I played a bit slow. Is that we also have supernatural things. Did I say that to us? Hebrews chapter 12. They were coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. Did you see that? That innumerable company of angels. Innumerable company of angels.
Glory to God. To the heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 12 verse 22. Hebrews 12 22. Just putting one or two things in order as we'll run up this series today. Are you there? Look at verses 22. He says, but you come unto Mount Zion. He said, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men now made perfect. Hallelujah. Hope you are saying that. Okay. So we began looking at the mandate last week, the mandate. First of all, we say to be called son is to have a purpose, right? Right? To be called son is to have a purpose. And we looked at Cain. Cain is called fugitive and vagabond, noir and not. Fugitive and vagabond. Fugitive and vagabond means not to have a purpose. Did you see that? Not to be wandering, doesn't mean to be walking up and down like a madman. No, it means not to have a purpose. Hallelujah. Not to have a purpose. So to be born again, to be saved, is to have a purpose. Hallelujah. Say, I have a purpose. Say, I have a purpose.
Amen.
Amen. So the purpose is not multiplicity of purposes. No, we all have a singular purpose in the earth. Genesis 1:28. I said, no, my purpose is, it's not talking about,
I'm not talking about talent. And there's nothing like God-given talent. Let me warn something. See, my God-given talent is to sing. Sure, alright. My God-given talent is to, thank God, there's not AI everywhere. And it's taking some people's talent from them. Amen. Somebody, let me not advertise.
AI. My God-given talent is what? I know some people have used talent.
I should teach you guys about parable of the talent and so on. But you know, some people are like, that's talent, what do you mean? My talent is singing. My talent is to play football. See, are you okay? Somebody called a player and said he was born a footballer. Like, come on. Come on. See, he put it the right way. When he was giving birth to, at an early age, they took him to a football academy. Once he was born a footballer, did they bond him with ball in the stomach?
Even if you stop saying nonsense, stop the arrogance. Say, wow, what a boy. Ah, I was born with a good voice. Stop. I was born with a bad voice. Stop. He trained himself. Sometimes your voice is a product of your father or your mother. What kind of voice do they have?
I rest my case. Continue. Alright? So let's continue. So what is your purpose? So what is your purpose? Discovering purpose? No. Some of you, I'm saying your voice, I'm talking about your parents. You are looking at Dixon. Dixon has been helped by God. You don't know. Salome has helped him. I've never heard Salo single. Please, Salo should lead next week. Come to hear her sing. She has never sang in church. Please, let her sing.
How about you?
So I should come and sit like a...
like provider at the back.
Okay. Are you with me? I know you are not a music team. But I want to, so, I have here, the purpose we have is not a multiplicity of purpose. No, we have one purpose in Christ. Hallelujah. We have one purpose in Christ. And that purpose is Genesis 1:1. Heaven and all the earth. Genesis 1:28. Replenish, subdue, refill the earth. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the purpose we have as believers, all of us together. God's plan in all the earth. And God will carry out his plan by himself through his people. Hope you are following me. God carries out his plan by himself through his people. I say it and I say this very well. God has given us a purpose and has given us a way. He has given us the way his purpose should reach the whole earth. Obadiah has given us the way we should reach the whole land. Yeah. Yeah. In the preaching of the gospel. Not in film acting. Nobody ever gets saved by acting movies. So I just watched the movie, I just got born again. How? No. Amen. Amen. The Bible never says you should sing songs to win souls. You want to do song concerts that will win souls. How? Instruction to sing songs. Songs is not, listen to me, songs is not a replacement for evangelism. Go for evangelism and start singing songs. No. Men get saved via the preaching of the gospel. Scriptures well explained. Hope you're hearing me. Songs is not how you win a soul. Say the song was so lovely. I felt the power of God. I got saved. God not saved nowhere. Come on. I sing. God saved. How? Say God led me to be singing songs that I can win souls. How? Rather, what we are told is singing to yourselves. Believer. Do you see that? So songs are for edification, worship of God, not to win souls. You must know the difference. Say so sing to yourself, Colossians. Say so sing to yourself in times and in hymns and songs for a song. Did you hear? Then we drop the one when he says that they filled with the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to one another in times and in hymns and songs for songs. Did you see that? So to ourselves, for edification, to start we worship God together, not to win souls. So stop it. Say, what are you want to do breakdowns to win souls? So you're going to dance breakdowns and say, oh, you're born again. Come on! What's wrong with you? Don't do that. When you find that happening, no, that is not godly in anybody. Okay, enemy. What goes over there? Because I should sing songs to you, so now you'll be born again. Just walk out. Because I'm a serious person. Show me the world! Okay, enemy. Show me the world! Not... What's that? Amen! Glory to God!
rich. So God has given us a tax. He has given us how the tax should be carried out. How about you? How the tax should be carried out. So there's a tax. In Ephesians chapter 2, is it? I'm a Christian. I've entered into rest. Have ceased from what? You're a joker. You know the Bible says you went out into rest. We're in no rest. How many of you are in rest here? Let me see your hands if you're in the rest. You're not in rest. How many of you are in the rest here? Are you not resting? But your kind of resting is not the one kind of resting. The one that you have rest is all I know is to lie down, eat, sleep, and then food. That is the one. But for we Christ, rest is not like that. Obey everything. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 7 there. Ephesians 2, 7. It says here, it says, and in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in all kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Say, for by grace he has saved. Hallelujah. Through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. He says, not of works. So when you pick that and put it with what the writer of Hebrews says, he says, you are, he says, he that has entered into rest has ceased from his works. Now you're not talking about ceased from works, but you have ceased from his works. Put it there, say, we are saved not of works. This is that, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Say, lest any man should boast. Say, but we are his workmanship. Say, I'm his workmanship. His workmanship means God is kind and is taxed through me. Hallelujah. I'm God's tool. I'm God's tool. I'm God's building. I'm God's house. Hallelujah. That's how you see a man. I'm God's building. I'm God's house. You know, that's how to sleep. That's how to speak when you wake up. That's how to talk to yourself. Don't say, I don't know what talking to me. No! Hallelujah. Say, I know who I am. I'm God's house. I'm God's workmanship. I'm God's building. I'm God's vessel. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You say that concerning yourself. I'm God's building. God carried out and stacked in the whole world through me. Hope you are with me. Yes, amen. Look at verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ unto what? Good works. Good works which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Which God has before ordained. Before ordained will be from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So that means we are born again into works. We are not born, see, we don't need works to get saved. But in being saved, we have works. Good works. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. So, to enter into his rest is actually entering into God's work. God's purpose. Read Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 quickly. Let's rush to Hebrews 3 verses 15 quickly. Everybody, Hebrews 3, 15. Sorry, that's Hebrews 3. Hebrews 4, sorry. Hebrews 4. So, before we get to Hebrews 4, let's look at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 3. It says, whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest. Talking about those who sinned 40 years in the wilderness in offers. Those who had hardness of heart, Jesus will call them. Look at verses 17 quickly. Verse 17, it says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose currently fell in the wilderness? That is Numbers 14. Did you see that? That's number 14. Those who sin. Now, that is the set of people that Jesus in Matthew 19 will call hardness of heart. The same people. So, when Jesus will say, motive become the hardness of your heart, somebody to put away your wife, he was telling them that the reason for the Deuteronomy of putting off of your wife is because of the hardness of heart. I mean, of giving them a bill of divorce is because of the hardness of your heart. Unbelief. So right on Hebrews in verse 18, we now call it unbelief. You see that? Who believed not. Now he said they couldn't enter into that rest because of unbelief. Now let's look at chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 3. Say, for we who have believed do enter into his rest. As he has said, I have sworn in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And then in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, see that the remaining soul must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was explaining that rest to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he says rest there, was though the in context there was talking about the patriarchs, or whatever you like call it, the patriarchs, he's talking about the Jews, the Israelites, right? How the context is writing here.
On concerning. But something you have to see is that is being saved will enter into rest. Now the opposite of rest is not works. Somebody answered this question last week, right? Who? That should be E.K. Raise your hand and answer this question.
I know what is the opposite of rest. Who answered? What did you call it? Were you the one that answered it? Are you sure? Huh? Huh? So there was someone that answered the question I was supposed to leave 2000.
Huh? That was what you told me.
What was the question? He said, Paul, he was talking about
when he got
light, he talks
from
Jesus Christ.
How
about that? Okay,
you
don't answer this. Okay, I know I'm owing somebody. Let's see, you see me after service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's continue. So the opposite of rest is not works. No. The rest is works. No, the opposite of rest is not works. Rather, coming a second. Okay. The opposite of rest is not works, but chaos. Okay, follow me. Chaos. Confusion. Hallelujah. Chaos, confusion. So that means rest deals with purpose, direction, paths. Rest deals with purpose, direction, order. So we said the tax here, in Genesis chapter 1 verses 28, he used the word kabash. That's the word to subdue, kabash. What people have used as prayer today. Well, it still falls in line. Hallelujah. Does it not fall? We're going to see it shortly. So he used the word subdue, kabash in the Hebrew. Kabash. And that word kabash is used for a kingdom tax. Kingdom tax is used for is territorial in nature. Territorial in nature. So by this time when Moses was writing to them, they had 70 nations, 70 kingdoms. Hallelujah. 70. Hallelujah.
glory of God, seven is the kingdom.
And that was the reason why Moses chose 70 leaders, 70 men from the people in numbers. He chose 70. Why would he choose 70? He chose 70 because God starts his territorial. So Moses knew that there are 70 nations, 70 non-nations. Do you get me? So he chose 70 men to represent the 70 nations because God starts is in the nations. And that was the tax of Israel to the whole world. What are you following me? What are you following me? Israel was not part of the nation, but 70 elders for 70 nations. How are you following that? That was very, very important, you see. So when you use 70 there, it means the whole world. So when Moses chose 70 elders, it means the tax of God is in the whole world. Hope you're following me. Watch back. Go back again to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You will find the underlying tone is the whole world. Matthew, go into all the world. Do you see that? Hallelujah. I mean, sorry. All authority given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Did you see that? Every nation. Matthew says this. Mark will say, preach the gospel in all the world. Hallelujah. Luke will say that the present revelation of sin be preaching his name among all nations. All nations. Did you see that? John will say, better name and the receive of the Holy Ghost. So whosoever sin ye forgive and forgive. He said, whosoever ye retain and retain. When you use the word whosoever there, you go back to to John chapter 3. Whosoever means the nation, the whole world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. So when you use the word whosoever, it's using whosoever for the whole world. Listen, whosoever loved the world. So the gospel is a kingdom war. The kingdom war. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen! Kingdom. So you will subdue. Replenish. So that means your task in the nation is not to Jaffa. Your task in the nation is to replenish. Okay, let me. Your task in the nation is not to find new MSC. No! Your task in the nation is not to find new master. No! Your task in the nation is to replenish. Kingdom. Kingdom reality. Okay, let me. Now, when you use nations now, amen. Now, when I use nations for the global one that is happening. But nations goes as low. Now, when you use nations, don't be thinking of Canada, UK, Australia. And you do not think of Mozambique, Uganda. You do not think of Australia, Spain, La Prairie, French. I have to, nations, Israel, you do not think of other nations. I don't want to say like that, I have a man of God. Yes, back. I see you in UK. Sir, let's go. He said, don't worry, smart, I'll take you to Uganda. I said, how? You know all the good nations we went to. And what carries me? You want to take me to Uganda? You're too funny.
Amen.
Well, yeah, nations, don't think of countries alone. Okay, hear me. Nations means nation. When you hear the word nations, listen, nation means people with the same ideology. Okay, hear me. With the same ideology. That have things in common. Keke Association is a nation. Hope you know. Okada riders, they are a nation. Prostitutes are a nation.
Who are your enemies? The nation. People with the same ideology, the same mindset. So before you start thinking of it as international, start from your streets. Okay, hear me. Nations can be those set of boys that are always playing ball and never going to church. As a nation. That's the same ideology to play ball on Sunday, but that is a nation. What's going on? Okay, hear me. Okay, hear me. Association of meat sellers, nation. Drug addict nation. Cultist nation. Ego smoker nation. So you have to see them. Hallelujah. You have to see them. That nation. And God is sending you there. You know, I love the way a man of God once said, that was a crazy kilometer. He said, God is sending you to every man's world. Every man's world. Every man has got a world where he or she functions in. Everyone. Everyone. Bankers, nations. Students, nations. Every man's world. No man operates in isolation. He belongs, he or she belongs to a world. Hallelujah. And God is sending you to them. Hope you are following me. God is sending you to them.
Amen. Amen. So that word kavash is used for kingdom war. Kingdom. And Moses knew what he was writing, and he chose 70. The nations of the earth. So when you find nations, they have an undertone in Genesis 1:28, has an undertone in where in Moses choosing 70. Hope you follow me. He's in the nations. Someone says, why is it that Jesus did not send people into the nation? He only sent them to the Lordship of Israel. I told somebody, he sent 12, and it was deliberate. He sent 12 to the nations of Israel. 12. And it was deliberate. Israel is 12 tribes. But when he was to send 70, he sent them into the nations. Because the 70 means the nations. How about everyone? The nations. Is in the nations. The task is in the nations.
He told the 12, go not to the ways of the Gentiles. But the 70, he sent them to the Gentiles. He sent them to Galilee.
That is the nations. Jesus was to give an instruction to go into the world. He went to Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. He went there and he said, go into all the nations. He started his ministry in Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee of the nations. He sent men. He started his ministry there to tell you that the work of the ministry, the gospel, is not an Israelite gospel. Somebody said, what we have as Christianity is foreign religion. I said, no. 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 You're missing it. You know, it's not religion. I said, no. As Israelis religion. I said, no! From Genesis chapter 1, the undertone of Christianity of God is in the nations. Genesis 1, heaven and earth. The whole world subdued. Moses, 70 nations. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the Gentiles, the nations. Is not a particular tribe religion. No. Hallelujah. Now let's come back to Shango. What is Shango? Let's come back to Shango. Let's have our own gods. No! Anywhere you find idol worship. I heard this from Pastor Shango Onyinka, my pastor. Anywhere you find idol worship is in rebellion to God. Anywhere you find idol, anybody that says, let's go back to our Shango, watch them. They actually have rebellion against the gospel in mind. The God of iron. Not only iron. God of iron cup. Amen! So Paul makes us see that the gospel is a warfare. It makes us see that the man who is in darkness, the man who is unsaved, he is in darkness. Colossians 1 says, that delivered us from darkness. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 again, where we were earlier. Ephesians 2. Just look up verses 2. Hope you understand what I'm teaching you this afternoon. Are you getting what I'm teaching you this afternoon? Now it's a word in the time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Now who are these children of disobedience? The unbelievers. So that means the unbelievers. There's nothing like I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to serve your Jesus. I don't want to serve Satan. I just want to be at the meeting. Satan has got you under his arm. You know what? I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a Muslim. Okay. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be in this God. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to serve any God. I just want to be a free thinker. I want to be an atheist. Atheism is demonic. You don't know? I just want to be a free thinker. Kill you there. Free thinker. How? There's no more free thinking. You don't know? That's what thinking itself is idol worship. You don't know? The thinking itself is idol worship. You think you just say, I'm not thinking freely. I don't want to think about God. I don't think about him. He said that I really don't want to think about him. I don't want to think about God. So I can think on him well. Okay. Don't let free thinker. It's not only free.
Amen.
The Bible says the man who is not saved is under the prince of the power of the air. It's under the kingdom dominion of darkness. Whether he likes it or yes. Whether he flies in the night or not.
He's under darkness.
Amen. Amen.
He's under darkness.
That's how you see. See, that's how you must see an unbeliever.
Amen.
That's how a believer cannot. When Paul said, what has light got to do with darkness? You think we're just writing singing tone or ringing tone when you're, what does light have to do with darkness? No! He's telling you how. You must see the unbeliever that way. Who be the enemy? That's why when Jesus walked in Matthew chapter 9 verse 38, he showed them that they are as sheep without shepherd. Sheep without shepherd. Without the shepherd. And when he says shepherd there, he was referring to himself. They have wandered away. You see that? They have gone astray. Under the devil. There is no man who is not born again who is not under the dominion of the devil. Every man. That's why I'm always conscious of what I say around an unbeliever. I don't just open my mouth braggado. I just talk nonsense. What are you hearing? You release sensitive information. Satan gets to know it through that person. Say, no, the person does not talk. The person does not need to talk for Satan to know. Satan, he lives in Satan's kingdom. As they're telling him, Satan is knowing. Nothing is down. Okay. Okay. That is the plan. Thank you. That is Satan now. Why would he know? How would he know? When your mouth is leaking. Hallelujah. So now you see an unbeliever under Satan's dominion. But you know what? There's another way to see the unbeliever. Should I tell you the other way to see the unbeliever?
Eh? You see them in this light, and then you see them that you have a responsibility towards them. Hallelujah. You must always see an unbeliever as the man you have a responsibility towards. What is the responsibility there? You have a purpose towards the gospel. You have those, you have their antidote. You have their solution. The gospel. You have the solution to darkness.
Thank God, the solution to darkness. Thank God, the solution to darkness. Hallelujah. You got that solution. Hallelujah. And that is God's task. Light in darkness. And you are being committed with that responsibility of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now,
a believer is falling for an unbeliever. No, it's just my heart. God punish your heart. What's wrong with that heart? Tie it up! This is my heart. Tie your heart up. Tie it up! You fall nowhere. How about you? You will fall nowhere. Say no, my heart. There's all I got. Ring drop. How do they call it? Drop whatever. Hold your heart. Hallelujah. The only responsibility you have towards an unbeliever is the gospel. Whether male or female, six packs or keeper, six pack or big stomach, you only have the gospel towards that person. And you will not see the person beyond who you have an assignment towards. What about you? Paul said, no man, who warred? Remember I said this is war, right? No man who warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this world. You can't. You can't say I have a soft word. Soft word? Hadith! Okay! Hadith! No soft word here in the gospel. Because when you give a soft word for who you're supposed to win, Satan has got you. Ha! Believer, Satan has got you. You should go and weep. Can you have soft word? Soft what? Go and cry. Say, ah! Lord, bullet hit me. Correct, bullet. Straight bullet. Just that you went for your warfare. And then, you keep your bishop. And one, you stop talking, you keep your armory. I'll help the Lord enemy. And say, take me as I am, I love you so much. You are God. I said, no, but sir, he loves me too. Lord, keep both of you. Yeah? You guys don't know where I'm talking from. I'm talking from serious experience. Not my experience. Brethren. His sister went to school in the north. And now began to tell me about Abdul what? He said, sir, in relationship, I will win him over.
How?
How are you winning in a relationship? He's not winning this outside. He's inside, he's not going to win. Ha! Stop nonsense. Then how will you feel? Your partner now shows up and say, I want to get married. I'm already married, though, so I can't have it. Just show up. Imagine before I come, I'm going to get married. I'm marrying the Rihanna. Or, I'm marrying the Rihanna. Fatima. Is it Fati? Fati what?
Hawa. Just know that Satan has got your pastor somewhere. Amen. Glory to God. You now have one assignment towards an unbeliever. The gospel. How many years? How many years? The gospel.
Remember one time like that, a young lady, about to leave secondary school, I'm going to share it. Young lady, I won't call her name, but if she listens to this message, if she, anytime she gets born again, she will not talk about that. She was not following me up, like disciple. I mean, I was not seeing anything. Until the day she now opened her mouth, and I said, can't you see all these things? I said, what? We're done with our end there. So I know when I was in school, she was always following up and I didn't even notice. Because I can't even notice. So after 1 year, this is 3 years. Delilah tried to catch something, I couldn't catch something. And I came up with it. I would have the love, but I can't say from this year. I can't. For the sake of God, I want the love of the pleasure and I can't.
Well,
I don't think so. I hate. I've learned before. Ah, seeking. What seeking? How was the last time I talked to my back school again? The same person. So in the three of our wives, I'm not telling you, can't you see? Now we are ready to go to school. Now you're not a big boy. I'm not a big girl. In my head, I'm like, okay, what's all this? You know? Can't you just be like a sorry man? He cannot walk. He said, why? He said, why? I'm a Christian. A Muslim. He can't just, it cannot happen. He cannot happen. He said, okay, what if I become a Christian? I said, if would be it. It cannot happen. It cannot.
How? How do we even start it?
Nonsense.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So you have to start towards your own believer.
Amen. So the believer has a tax towards the unbeliever, and that is the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Light in darkness. Light in darkness. His word to the dark parts, to the heart. So last week we began saying we have his name, right?
Did you read that last week? What do we have in carrying out his mandate? We have his name. We have his name. Matthew 16. We have God's name.
Amen. We're going to be fast now. Matthew 16 will have his name. Matthew 16, rather. His name. Luke 10, 17 will have his name. So his name is his power. I got the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus is his authority. When you hear the word name of Jesus, it talks about his authority. We have the authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have his authority. Say, have his authority. Have his power.
Hallelujah. So in the preaching of the gospel, he gives us his power. He gives us his power. Amen. So the power of God is in the believer. Say, the power of God is in me. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Can you see this? Can you see this? Where is the power? The power is in the believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The concentration of God's power is in the believer. It's towards us. Hallelujah.
Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. Say, I got the power. Say, I got the power. Look at Luke 10, 17. Verses 19 quickly. The sentence is, he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now this is the power that accompanies the preaching of this gospel, of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So over all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Work of the enemy is darkness. going to see that unbelief. Unbelief, darkness. It includes it. Hallelujah. Works of the enemy includes darkness. So, we have authority over darkness. And what is that authority? We'll bring light into darkness with the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So the city that is set upon the hill. When it is the world upon the hill, it means supernatural. We have supernatural light. That shall not be me. That shall not, I mean, that cannot be heat. We are the light of the world. Hallelujah. The light. So that light has its place to shine in the darkness. Glory to God. And that is by the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the gospel. Who are following me? The gospel. So, how do we make the light shine? When we preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So, Genesis 1:2. Darkness upon the surface of the deep and the Spirit of God over the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. That is the preaching of the gospel. So when a man gets saved, it is let there be light. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody. When it says let there be light in Mark Luke, it's not saying let there be never light. No, it means preaching the gospel. Okay, everybody. Okay, everybody. Let there be light. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory, glory, glory. In Romans 1:16, Paul will say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, glory to God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Did you see that? The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Say the gospel. It's God's power to save men. Hallelujah. Can you see that? The gospel is scriptures taught rightly. Amen. It's the power of God. So God's power is invested in the gospel to save men. To save men. What are you reading? Hallelujah. That's the word euangelion in the Greek. Euangelion. It has its roots in the Hebrew for warfare. An announcement. How you announce victory in the war. So it has a kingdom narrative. Okay, enemy. Okay, enemy. It has a kingdom narrative. So, the task, the mandate is warlike. The warlike mandate. Warlike mandate. Warlike mandate. So when you get preaching the gospel, we're going to do that also during prayer retreat, much more. You have to see. That is a warlike mandate. Hope you hear me. Hope you hear me. The warlike mandate. As you begin to canvass the gospel. Talk about the gospel to the unseen. You must have that undertone of warfare. When I mean undertone of warfare, I'm not saying you're not that blowing the first blow. No. Warfare is most lost. You are in contention with the forces of darkness. He doesn't know, not he, and the unbeliever doesn't know, for you know. Hallelujah. So you are coming prepared. Glory to God. Paul will say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Chapter 6.
Where do they walk? In chapter 2, verse 2, in the heart of the man that believes God.
You see that?
Glory to God. In the heart of the man that believes God.
That's where you find that. That's where you find that today.
So you are in contention. You are in contention. Hallelujah.
You are running off, I say.
Hallelujah. So, in the preaching of the gospel, we are carrying out God's tasks. Remember, I didn't say the singing of songs.
Hey. Okay, then. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I've once ever saw the singing. I've made it.
You this kind of songs. Amen. Preaching. That's why a singer. Listen, a singer. The role. Listen, a man who sings in a local church
should also carry out task of preaching the gospel to your soul, because singing doesn't replace it. Who are you hearing me? Who are you hearing me? Who are you hearing me?
So now I'm not a music director in church.
Continue. Amen. So the preaching of the gospel is carrying out God's task. So knowing that it is a warlike mandate, you know you can't go with sweet speech. It's not by your good English. Hope you know that. Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. He said, I came not to you with excellency of speech. You know the excellency of speech? I didn't come to you with enticing words. That's what it means. With enticing words of man's wisdom.
There you go. You are born again. Connect without power. That is honest. Connect without power is honest. Nothing. Olodo. Connect without power. Can you be a child of God with you? No power. See, you can have God's power in you, as I've said, and the power is not in you. Some people, God's power in them is already rusty. He's not there. He's not in more work. Hands up. Then I will see you slap you, have deaf ears. Deaf in your ear. Child of God. Hands up. Nothing! You are just like a big guy. Huge.
Not like this, this is a guy. When you see me with police, you know that's when.
You don't give you slap and you're like, this is it! Ah! Are you like that? Sweet talk! You know? The gospel just says that he is a communication of the rewarding of the spirit and grammar. When they see this one, they say, okay, he has come. Grandmother, give us. Grandmother, you and Patrick Obaya, but you guys are dragging for who can speak English. Whereas you see a man that cannot speak English, he mixes English and Yoruba, and he talks, damn, then people get saved. They say, yeah, he's using jazz. You that don't have jazz, let's see your word now.
Jesus is my child.
He doesn't even know Greek. He doesn't know Hebrew. You get the Greek word for God to be called not the Lord. When you put it side by side, you have no power. Unless, you are like a man who cannot lift up a gun and is in the war front. Unless. That's how the mouth. You know the gospel is a central figure that when you put it upon them, they now bring man somebody who is possessed with demons and say, wait, I'm not ready. Unless you get power. Okay, you get power, but you don't use that. She's not even okay.
You're going to do evangelism.
You know that your leg has legs. There are people, you now you get to where you see jazz. You say, the Lord has not called me there. Ole. You know what is Ole? Ole is the Greek word for Ole. Amen. You see jazz. I remember one time I had in school. They said the dinner was jazz. They put the blood of goat and Christian. They had to bath.
And you are running. African magic. They magic your life. Amen. But I came not to you with the tighty words of man's wisdom, but with the Holy Ghost and power.
Ah, you are preaching gospel, no power. Ow! Power!
Glory to God! Amen! It's what I said, look at what I have in my notes here. It says, knowing this is not, knowing that the gospel is warfare, it cannot be done by fair weather speeches, but rather by power. Therefore, I have to trust God's power in the place of prayer.
Do you see that? You cannot separate preaching of the gospel and prayer. You cannot. Amen. Amen. A man who preaches the gospel and does not pray is an ole. What are you hearing me? Ole.
Look, get power. There's a new word I want to give to that kind of word. Let me know what Ole is. Felele. You know they call Felele. Felele.
That kind of word that you can blow. You can toy your head. Felele. No get power. No get...
Paul practically makes us see that we exercise power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. We exercise power in the name, in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer.
We exercise power in the place of prayer. If you read Ephesians 6 again, Ephesians 6, look at what he says.
So you can't separate the preaching of the gospel and prayer. No! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Prayer is where you first get the rebirth before you go out to do Ephesians 6.
Are you there? You should be. Pre-penultimate scripture I'm going to read tonight, this evening. Ephesians 6. Are you with me? Verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For so wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against rulers of darkness of this world, against future wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying!
You can't get the word prayer!
Prayer! Prayer! Glory to God! Prayer doesn't make power come, no. But prayer makes that power that you already have available for you. Hallelujah! Prayer makes the power of God available for you.
I did not give Jesus an example. Jesus is a man of prayer. Jesus is God. You know, you can just call and say, come and just, I'm God, you know. So, let me just do it faster, push faster. No, but as God, he prayed. He prayed all night. He prayed all night. So people just tell me, let's pray 1 hour. That evening they already told you. They already see angels standing by the right corner of the earth. Pray 1 hour, your ways are already buckled. How will you go to it? I don't know what he did, the cookathon.
let me not go there. I want to break dinner. Come and pray. God, I'm out of life. Jesus prayed all night.
He was tired when he leaves, when people have to go and pray. We also find a pattern in their posture. Something I'm going to teach us by next year, or before prayer retreat, is that you find the same pattern of prayer in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the people. They prayed. They were men of prayer. Hallelujah. Who are you today? Men of prayer. They were praying. So, prayer did not just start in the New Testament. I can't teach you that last time, but I decided to start from Moses. I did that very quickly. But we'll go back to Genesis. I see prayer there. Prayer is warfare. Prayer is warfare. But then, why did they pray? Why did that? Well, we are praying. Some people have it in their hearts, but you know, they can't explain it. But they just have to because it's of God. You just know someone is of God. You pray and see people that pray, that see their fighting. Ah, yes, you are! I don't laugh. They don't know. See, prayer is don't know. You know me, I know you. No, that's not prayer. Prayer is being warfare. What the hell is this? You fight. Glory to God. Jesus prayed like that. I would say Jesus prayed. And his sweat was as thick as blood. You think he was praying, oh Lord, you know me, I know you. You know my name, I'm Jesus. You know you are Lord, Father, Abba, Son. No, this is not. He was praying. Hallelujah. In fact, I showed us that what it meant was, you know, he had a rescue. Jesus. God.
He was praying and he was, I showed us, right? Listen to that message, Adventures in Prayer. Jesus had that rest. Amen. Amen. So prayer involves bodily movement. It's warm. How about you?
Hallelujah. So when he comes out of here, he still went abroad. Is a product of prayer. What are you hearing me? Men sought to touch the point. But prayer makes the power available. You don't find the same thing with the apostles.
Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 14. The moment Jesus left them, they were praying. Acts 1 14. They were praying. You want to go? Acts 2. They were praying. Then they had the Holy Ghost meeting. Acts 2. They had that experience. Acts 4. They flocked them and told them not to preach again in the name of Jesus. They went to their country. From verse 30, the Bible says they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. And then they spoke the word of God. Did you see? They prayed to go preach. They didn't preach, they came to pray. No, you pray to preach, and after preaching you pray. That is how it goes. The life of a believer is the life of prayer. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. In chapter 5, when they flogged them, they could not dance. They were worried about flogging for Christ. Why? Because they were already built in the place of prayer. Act 6. Peter will say, we'll give ourselves continually, Act 6, to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Did you see that? And to prayer. You cannot take away prayer from the believer's life. Because prayer makes the power available. You see, don't through the book of Acts, you saw mighty signs and miracles. It didn't happen because they were playing and you do. No, it happened because they prayed. What are you hearing? It happened because they prayed. Those are signs of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you do it to pray? You don't need to pray at all? And I don't know why. I don't have the gift of giving. Why would you say nonsense? If I lay hands on somebody that has headache, come to fever. See, I'm not praying now. So you think his mouth. Pray! Hallelujah! Pray! Prayer is not right and peace. Prayer is prayer.
Amen! Amen! Glory to God! Act 9.
Paul, he got converted. The first thing he was doing after he got saved was what? He was praying. You should just be smart to know that the believer's life is built on prayer.
I love what Dr. Kenyon said. He said, we have too many converts. Too many converts. But few rebirths. Too many converts, but few rebirths. Rebirth is first born in the place of prayer. Who did I say that? Did I say it of Kenyon?
Yes.
No, Kenyon Higgins. Sorry, I missed that.
Too many converts and few rebirths. Kenyon Higgins. Hallelujah. Few rebirths is born in the place of prayer.
Prayer is where you win souls first before you get to them. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you pray, you make supplications in the spirit.
You pray for places you will never reach. And then the spirit of God aids people to go carry out that task in the spirit. Sometimes you pray, when you pray many times, it's not because of you are the one who is going to do it, but your role is to pray. Hope you are hearing me. Pray. The believers do not hinge their prayer life on things, material things. No. Prayer is sacrifice. Along what the dear man of God said, yes, sir. He said, before
you speak to men for God? Have you spoken to God for men? So before he gets talking about the gospel, have you gone on your knees? He's on the two knees. On your two knees. That's where you find them. On your two knees. That's where you find men first. Have you prayed for them? Have you prayed for men?
I round off with this. Luke 10:17. Again, I mean 19. Luke 10, 19. I give you power. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means. Power to tread upon snakes and scorpions. We said it last week, but I'm going to take this as a teaching on its own, maybe sometimes after we're done with it.
Hallelujah.
Treading over the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. But I'll leave you with this. We
have that mandate to spoil the works of the devil in the preaching of the gospel. As you go preaching the gospel, there's power accompanying it. Over here, in the place of preaching the gospel, you find the sick, you find the blind, you find those who are oppressed of the devil. Your role is to get them healed. Over here, lay hands on them, get them healed. Men will come, you get them saved. I'm going to spend time after now to teach us this.
But you need to have this. Hallelujah. It's not part of my teaching, but I'm going to explain it subsequently. Hallelujah. We have that responsibility. You should, as a believer, be able to know the works of the devil in a locality. Did I say that to us last time? Right, did I?
Where you find just everybody there blind. No, that is the working of the devil. Hallelujah. Because you get to a place, you find everybody there has amputated leg. I mean, the devil is working there. Amputated. It's a situation of amputation. You don't work over there. But this is the devil. Everybody is dead. You have a war to spoil his works. Hallelujah. The laying on of hands. It accompanies the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. But the most important that I'm majoring on today is the place of prayer.
Jesus didn't leave the believer void of power. The believer is not void of power. But the believer has a responsibility to always make sure that this power is always available. Learn something? Learn something? So your responsibility is to make sure this power is always available. What saves a man is the gospel well preached. It's got power. I mean, God will know it's got power. We know it can't happen by good speeches. Right? It can't happen by good speeches. Even if you have to explain scriptures well, it doesn't happen by good speeches. It happens by the power of God. Hope you're hearing me. By the power of God. So I trust God's power. In the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming years, to save souls through me. Amen. Let's go on our feet as we thank the Lord.